It was a lonely time. In January of 1942, our country was still reeling from the attack on Pearl Harbor, from its recent entry into the war, which they were not ready to fight. And there were all kinds of just rumors. People were scared. There were rumors of German U-boats making its way up and down the East Coast. People were afraid there might be airstrikes, air raids. And so in places like New York City, they practiced dim-outs. Did you ever hear of these? Where they would tell certain blocks in certain parts of the city that at a certain time at night, business owners had to cut out the lights, had to turn off their marquees, the street lights went out, people were told to turn the lights off in their home or at least dim the lamps. And the idea was that by making part of the city dark, you could confuse enemy bombers. It'd be harder for them to hit their targets if they happened to be overhead. It was a lonely time. And it's during this time that many believe that a man named Edward Hopper stood on a street corner in Greenwich Village and he saw this scene. From this vantage point, you see the inside of a diner. You see a young couple that's chatting up the waiter. You see a guy sitting there who seems to be keeping to himself. But maybe most of all, you see the perspective of the painter. Because he's standing outside, and there are no people, and there is no light, and there's not even a door to get inside. You know, it's funny, I don't know anything about art. But I remember seeing this a few weeks ago, and it just kind of stuck with me. And I thought, it's interesting that I'm not an art guy, and I didn't live during World War II. I've never lived with the threat of an invading force coming to land, like something that you'd see on that kind of a scale that they were afraid of. I mean, there's so many things about their time I cannot know because I have not experienced. But when I saw that picture, it just looked lonely. Like someone viewing something from the outside looking in, so close and so far away. And that's because that is common to our human experience. See, we were made for connection. The thing that makes us different from everything else in all of creation is that God made us in His image, which means He made us holy, and He made us holy so we can know Him in a way that nothing else in all of creation can. We were made to be connected to our God. And from that connection, we are made to be connected to each other, to our world. Connection goes to the heart of how God knit us together. And sin separates. It divides. And you've seen that in your life. You have watched how sin has destroyed relationships. You have seen how sin puts us at odds with the world around us. And you have felt the feeling of being separated from your God. Ever since the Garden of Eden, that separation has been there and it is real. And today you stand here as children of God and you are forgiven and you are holy in His sight and you are His children and He is your Father. But you have a sinful nature and you live in a sinful world. And that means that the full benefit of that relationship is stolen from us to a point that at times it seems not to exist at all. We were made for connection. And a lack of it, it's the thing we're missing. It's the thing that lay behind your restlessness. It's the thing that's behind your dissatisfaction and your discontent. It's the thing that's behind the loneliness and the emptiness. It's that hole in every soul. We struggle to put our finger on that. And because we struggle to put our finger on that, we try to fill that void in all the wrong ways, in all the wrong places. We try to fill that void by chasing something new, huh? New relationships, new jobs, new experiences, new places. As if somehow maybe the answer is always off on some horizon we just haven't explored yet. But you never catch it, do you? It's never there. Or we try to fill that void with more. More success, more people, more relationships, more fun, more free time, more money, more prestige. But the more you pour that into the void, the more you realize enough is never enough. Maybe you try to find it in better. Better relationship techniques, better communication techniques, better parenting techniques, best practices at work. But you can never do enough, can you? You see, you and I were made to be connected. Connected to our God. And sin separating that has left a void that is always there. And when you try to fill it with the wrong things, you find yourself like Edward Hopper, on the outside looking into a place where there doesn't even seem to be a door to get inside. But in Matthew chapter 17, Peter thinks that finally he found his way in. Here's what it says. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. There on that mountain, Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of heaven. They see just a glimpse of the glory that had always been there, hidden behind Jesus' human flesh. As it says, his face shines like the sun. It says his clothes become as bright as white. He just shines. Separations of space and time, they're just taken away as suddenly Moses and Elijah are standing there talking to Jesus. And Moses and Elijah were nearly 800 years apart. And it had been many centuries between the time they walked the earth and where Jesus was. And yet there they all are in the same place talking with each other. You see, they get a glimpse of the glory that is there, and Peter just knows this is what he needs. It's good to be here. But he's not in heaven, not yet. And the clock is ticking. And he doesn't want it to end. And so he watches this incredible conversation, and he does the unthinkable. He interrupts. And here's what he says. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." You see, Peter was right. It was good to be there. But the fact that he had to interrupt tells you something. For as much as that was a good thing, for much as that glimpse of heaven is exactly what he needed, they were over there and he was over here. He was not a part of that conversation. And that fact became obvious in the next moment. Because there above his head, he saw it. That cloud he had learned about from the time he was a little kid, the cloud we read about in our first lesson today in Exodus 24, that cloud that the Israelites followed out of Egypt through the Red Sea, the cloud that gathered at Mount Sinai, the cloud that filled the tabernacle and the temple, the cloud they followed to the promised land, there it was. And God speaks. And instantly they know that both God is in that cloud, and they also find out why he hides himself behind the cloud. We continue. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. There above them was God himself. And there they heard the voice of God. That was what they were created for, the connection they needed. And yet, as soon as he speaks, it's too much. It's like that kid drinking from the fire hose. They're just floored with their fear. And they sit there cowering on the ground. Because God is holy. And there is a gap between a holy God and sinful people. And holiness is like the light. In order for light to be light, it breaks out against the dark. In the same way, God's holiness is not a static quality. And Peter knew instinctively that when a holy God spoke, he was in a lot of trouble. You see, if something wasn't done, if they stayed there on that mountaintop indefinitely, if he built those shelters and Moses and Elijah and Jesus just set up camp there, cowering in the corner is as close as Peter was ever going to get. And you know, if God were a tyrant, if all he wanted was submission and to put our face in the dirt and keep it there, I guess that'd be good enough for him. But God is not a tyrant, is he? God created us in his image because he wanted to be connected to us, because he loves us. And so he wanted Peter there more than Peter wanted to be there. But first, he takes everything away except for the way. The cloud overhead, it dissipates. The voice that probably echoed through the mountains, it just disappears. Moses and Elijah, that they vanish. And all that glory that Jesus is showing, it's shut up inside once more. And it's just Jesus. Here's what it says. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. God stripped it all away. So that as Peter, James, and John sat there cowering in fear, they felt that familiar touch. They heard that familiar voice. And they heard that familiar phrase that they would hear more times than once, "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, it was just Jesus. And from this point on, they would see a lot. They would follow Jesus down that hill. They would see as Jesus did battle with his enemies. They'd see him find new followers. They'd watch Jesus tell parables. They'd see Jesus perform miracles. They would watch as Jesus marched into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday victorious. They would receive his body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the first time. And that same night, they'd watch him betrayed. They would see him crucified and dead on the cross, the sky grow black, the ground would shake beneath their feet. But Jesus points them past all of that. To a graveyard. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." You see, the only way to be in the middle of that scene, the only way to find ourselves in the presence of God and not find ourselves like Edward Hopper on the outside looking in, is through the cross and out the empty tomb. And so they went with them. And this year, so do we. Every year, we do this, don't we? We gather together on Transfiguration Sunday, and we begin and set out on that journey of Lent that begins on Ash Wednesday. And that journey starts in a graveyard. Only it's not outside of Jesus' tomb. It's ours. On Wednesday, you'll come up, and those ashes will be smeared on your forehead or on your hands, and you'll hear those words, "You are dust." And we will come face to face with our mortality and the mortality of our loved ones. We will stare into that grave, but we'll notice the shape of those ashes, that it's in the shape of the cross, and we see in that the solution. And from there, throughout the season, we have a chance to go through the stories and to read about Jesus' interactions with his enemies and his followers, to see Jesus' procession on Palm Sunday and then his crucifixion on the cross. And as we see the whole thing unfold, we realize we are not just observers, because it's my guilt on his shoulders. It's my failures that weigh him down. It's the things I hate about myself that ultimately he kills when he dies on that cross. And then every Easter Sunday, it's the same. You come in here and there's flowers everywhere and the organ is blaring and we're crying out, Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. And as we sit there and we look in that empty tomb, what stands out to us is how empty it is. And a remembrance that it's not just his victory over death, it's mine. That it's not just his new life, it's my new life. And we get to see it's the only way into the middle of that scene. See, Peter was right. It was good to be there. But at that point on the Mount of Transfiguration, he could only see it from a distance, like Edward Hopper looking into that diner. But his day would come. According to church tradition, it was about 30 years later in Rome. Some say he was led outside the city and crucified upside down. Others say he was crucified right side up. Still others say he wasn't crucified at all. It's funny how we get all worked up on those details. End of the day, does it really matter? He found himself in that place that we all find ourselves. And as he breathed his last and his heart stopped, the only world he'd ever known fades to black. And he opened his eyes, and it was just Jesus once more, just like on that mountaintop. And one day it'll be us. Maybe it'll be somewhere here in the Fox Cities. Maybe it'll be on the other side of the world. Maybe it'll happen in a hospital with all kinds of machines beeping around us, or maybe it's going to happen on the side of the road somewhere. It's funny how we get all wrapped up in those details, but at the end of the day, they don't matter as much as we think. What's important is that at some point, we're going to close our eyes in death as the only world we've ever known fades to black, and we'll open our eyes, and it'll be just Jesus. And we'll find ourselves standing there with more than just Moses and Elijah, but every Christian who's ever lived. And we'll be standing face to face with Jesus in all of his glory. And that cloud won't be there anymore, but God the Father will be. And he will speak and we will listen, and there'll be no fear and no mourning and no crying. And the best part is we'll be with our God. And maybe for the first time in our life, we'll realize how much we were missing. But that was the thing, the key to so many of our struggles now. And along with Peter, we'll say those words, it's good to be here. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's imluth.org. Have a great day.